philosophically and even topically / philosophically. In any case, the Torah begins, of course, by enumerating the events of those first 6 days and what it was that was the Bria of each of those days. And the Bria was different in each of those days. And clearly we have the impression that the Bria itself was an intrinsically significant event. The order is important, and Chazal speak much about that. Why exactly this order? You know, certain things appear to have been repeated. Why were they repeated? What does that imply? It may be in context of things that preceded them, but they take on a different meaning and significance. Clearly, the whole Parsha of Bereishis is one which has to be analyzed very, very carefully. Like every pasuk, of course, in the Torah, but in particular, to say, because this is the beginning, it sets the tone, and it's literally Dvarim Hom de Berumo Shel Olam, you know, Tarti Mashma. So it's clear that the order of the Bria, the event of the Bria, every aspect of the Bria, is of great significance and deserves to be put under a magnifying glass. At the same time, clearly the culmination of the Bria is reached with the with what appears to be the anti-Bria, which is Shabbos, Shvisa, the Shabbos. Vaychal Elokim b'yom ha'shvi, vaychulu ha'shamayim ba'aretz v'chol tzva'am, vaychal Elokim b'yom ha'shvi b'lachto asher asa, vayishbos, vayivarech, vayikadesh, and then of course the parsha ends, asher bara Elokim la'asos. So the question is, how do we relate to the the first 6 days to the seventh? One could have read the psukim that the real action and the real significance is in the first 6 days in the Yitzira, the Bria, and Shabbos is what it seems to be on face value, a pause from that Bria, Ribbono Shel Olam's catching of breath, kivyachol, to set back and to appreciate what had been created, and so on. It's Vayichulu, it's the end. And then, of course, you'd have to read Asher Bara Elokim La'asos, as many Mefarshim suggest that you can, and you should, as referring back to the Bria itself. Asher Bo Shabbos Mikol Malachto, Asher Bara Elokim La'asos, on the 6 days previous. But, of course, there's another reading of those psukim by Chazal, and that is that Asher Bara Elokim La'asos refers to Shabbos. Shabbos, the cessation of Malacha, and apparently of the Bria, is the ultimate Bria. It's the ultimate Asiya. One could go further and suggest that Shabbos is the culmination of the Bria. One could go even further and say not only the culmination, but it is the raison d'etre. It is the, the final cause, as they say. It is the purpose of everything else. Vayichulu has a double meaning. Vayichal has a double meaning. On the one hand, it refers to the conclusion, the end, and it also has the connotation of like the final cause, meaning the telos, the purpose, tachlis. Vayichulu is tachlis, and essentially, that's what we say in the first tefillah that we say on Shabbos, first Shmon Esrei that we say on Shabbos, right? We say Atakidashta es Yom Hashvi. And how do we describe it? Tachlis Masa Bereishis, in the sense that Vayichulu and Vayichal mean not only a siyum, a conclusion and an end, even a culmination, but more than that, the telos, the purpose, the tachlis of the Bria itself. And from that point of view, one could go to the other extreme. And that is that the purpose of the Bria, that's what telos means, is all the background for Shabbos. Of course, there's much support for this idea. The whole discussion in the second parak of Beitza, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, right? How should one conduct himself all week round, preparing for Shabbos the entire week, or not? Machlokes Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, and even the view, the dissenting view, we'll call it, which says Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, right? That you can you can have faith, you can be optimistic that you'll find a better piece of fish or chicken for Shabbos. It's not a rejection of the idea that Shabbos is central and that everything revolves around it. It simply again, argues for this sense of optimism, which itself is a very fascinating argument in halacha and in hashkafa. But it's not so much a rejection of the centrality and the pivotal nature of Shabbos. And of course, this idea of Shabbos, of the whole week being lived for, being justified by an eye, constantly toward Shabbos, is particularly articulated by the Ramban, right, in his Perush al HaTorah, and again in his Drasha L'Rosh Hashanah, or in that time of the year as well. So the Ramban explains that the months of the year revolve around Chag HaMatzos, and that's why we don't have names for them. It's Chodesh HaRishon, Chodesh Sheni, Chodesh Shlishi, and so on. It revolves around that pivotal event of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the days of the week, likewise, revolve around Bria Sa'olam. But not just Bria Sa'olam, the culmination of Bria Sa'olam, Shabbos. And that's why, again, there are no names for the days of the week. It's Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Chamishi, Yom Shishi, which is also called the Erev Shabbos. Everything revolves around Shabbos. So this is consistent with the idea that Vayichulu and that Tachlis Maaseh Shemayim Ba'aretz really refers to Shabbos. And it's fascinating that the Torah describes it, and again, that first tefillah that we say on Friday night describes it, both in terms of Vayivarech and Vayikadesh. Vayivarech in the sense of bracha. Bracha refers always to Shefa, an overflow, an expansion. On the other hand, Vayikadesh always has the connotation of tzimtzum, of confining things, restricting them and limiting them. But when it comes to Shabbos, it's both Vayivarech and Vayikadesh, two themes, and also one suspects two sides of the same coin, Vayivarech and Vayikadesh. Bracha through tzimtzum. That's really what Shabbos is, especially if it's tachlis maaseh shemayim va'aretz. In a sense, the Rabbonu Sholem's koach ha-tzimtzum, vayishbos, vayichal, which expresses itself in what appears to be a passive stance, is really lasos. That's the ultimate yitzira. A, the humility and the ability in the context of the momentum of vayivarech, of Bria and Yetzirah, of Bria Yesh Me'ayin. Imagine what momentum that entails. To be able to stop Vayichal, the ability to do that, of course, is the greatest Yetzirah of all. And in general, Shabbos' centrality can be explained partially by this dialectic of Vayivarech, Vayikadesh, of Yetzirah and Shvisa being the ultimate form of Yetzirah, Malacha, which culminates in a Shvisa, Tachlis Maaseh Shemayim Ba'aretz, the sense of working and building and creating in the real world, having a positive value in every way, being part of that world, but at the same time understanding that that positive value is contingent upon the recognition of Tachlis Maaseh Shemayim Ba'aretz being Shabbos, a day of spiritual focus. That is the ultimate Vayivarech and Vayikadesh, a Vayikadesh which is, in a sense, a Vayivarech. And for that reason, it's not surprising that the terminology that we use with regard to Shabbos also implies this dialectic. It's Zachar v'Shamar. Again, Zachar having the positive connotation, Shamar the more passive and negative connotation. But B'dibur Echad, right? Masha'ein, Hadibur Sovel, the concept of it, of Zachar and Shamar, of simultaneity, the simultaneity of anything is, of course, next to impossible for man to understand and to conceive. But a simultaneity or an integration of Shamar and Zachar, which appear to be opposites, is even more challenging. But that's the point. It's B'dibur Echad, and in the context of the two Aseres HaDibros, it's necessary to give attention to the Aseres HaDibros of Yisro, and separate attention to that of Eschanan, but to know that Zachar v'Shamar b'dibur echad ne'amar. And in that sense, what they both have in common is that it's not, as some of the Mepharshim note, Zachar and Shamar, but Zachar and Shamar. With, of course, a much more emphatic dikduk connotation. It's not enough to, you know, to remember, but Zachar, you need Kiddush. And again, Kiddush is Mekadesh as a Shabbos. Again, the same theme that I mentioned before, this idea of Tzimtzum and Bracha together. That's, the Rav once explained that the concept of Kiddush on Shabbos is the equivalent of what Rabbi Yaakov said about Kedushas Bechor. Kodesh u'mirechem, but still mitzvah la'akdisha. Shabbos is kavua v'kayima misheshes yimei bereshis. Doesn't require man's affirmation, but man's affirmation is important. It integrates him with Shabbos, and it adds a dimension to Shabbos as well. That's part of the zachor, and that's why Kiddush and Havdalah, as the Rambam explains, are really bookends to Shabbos. And they're both important. You have to mark the beginning and mark the end. Because the whole point, Taklis Masa Bereishis, is this day and what it brings to the rest of the week. What it justifies of the rest of the week and what it enhances of the rest of the week. But it's not only Zachar, which may be more obvious, but it's also Shamar in the emphatic. Again, it's even more difficult to conceive of how you can be have a kind of kumva asei formulation and active formulation of shamar. The idea of shamar, of desisting from melacha, appears to be oriented towards shev al taseh mitchil v'yatzov. But zachar v'shamar b'dibur echad. Again, it's because they are two sides of the same coin. Not because, reflected by the fact that they are two sides of the same coin. There can be a emphatic zachar, and there equally can be an emphatic shamar. And that emphatic shamar establishes what should be obvious if indeed shvisa is an asiya and is the tachlis of even the magisterial bria, and that is that shmira mi'isa malacha b'shabbos is not just about being passive. It's an orientation, it's a way of relating to the entire day. The care that you exercise not to violate Shabbos is in fact a kiyum and not just the avoidance of an Isser. In that sense, it's b'dibur echad with the Zachar, and it's also Shamor and not simply Shamor. And that again, I think, because this Tachlis, the Masa Bereishis, is a imitatio dei of great proportion, number one. Again, the Ribbono Shel Olam, the introduction of the first psukim of the Torah, of the Bria, and of Shabbos, is imitatio Deus. Shavo Shavas mikol melachto asher bara lekim la'asos. The actual Iser to do melacha isn't even mentioned in the first parsha in Bereishis. It's mentioned in some of the other parshas in Shabbos. It's challenging for us to try to figure out why there are so many parshios and what the different themes of the different parshios are, and why they are where they are, and why they are in the order that they are, and why they are separate from each other, as if to emphasize, again, these different dimensions, but the ultimate challenge being, you know, to integrate all of them in our Shmiras HaShabbos. But the first one, the one in Bereishis, is simply the Ribbono Shel Olam's Shvisa Ben HaShabbos, which means that the first way that we relate to Shabbos is in the sense of Lehidamos, imitatio Dei, of our imitation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mahu Rachum, Mahu Chanun, Mahu Shoves. He's a Yotzer, and he's a Shoves. And we also have to be Yotzrim and Shovesim. And if the Ribbono Shel Olam could exercise Koach HaTzimtzum, and that was considered to be Tachlis, Masa Bereishis, and the greatest Bria of it all, both for the humility that it implies, as well as for this telos of spirituality in a physical world, both elements, then that lehidamos, that's our charge, that's our obligation on Shabbos as well. To imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be mitzamtzem our yitzira, and harness our yitzira for the purpose of Shabbos, shamar. One suspects that there's also an added dimension, and that is that in addition to the Lehidamos, maybe this flows from the other parshios, not from this one, there's a sense of Shabbos for Klal Yisrael being also an opportunity of Tzimtzum beyond the Lehidamos. On the contrary, Tzimtzum to make clear the contrast. That additional element of humility so that we're not the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we need to be Shoveis. And maybe the Lehidamos is his lesson to us of our limitations. And that perspective, that of course is critical to Avodas Hashem generally. That too is part of the Shemor, which isn't Shemor, but really is Shamor. By ceasing and desisting, we're involved in a kiyum of Lehidamos and an additional kiyum of the contrast, in this case, the sense of our own limitations and boundaries. I think we see it in some of the dinim of Shabbos. I think in the, particularly in the lochem, I would say, aspects as opposed to the lashem aspect of Shabbos. But I'll try to elaborate as we go forward, maybe in some of these themes. You know, and some of the acronym suggests that you know, shein of a Shabbos is a good thing, not sleeping away your whole day. But you know that's a kind of a kiyum because it shows you know man's you know man, unlike HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not inexhaustible. That would be it's a nice way of emphasizing it. I don't find so much in the Midrashim, but some Achronim make that aura and other things as well. But I think it's the mix of the Lachem and Lashem aspect of it, because the Lashem is the Lehidamos and the Lachem part is almost a concession to human frailty and his need, you know, as part of the Shvisa. In any case, in this sense, Shabbos, of course, represents a microcosm of Avodas Hashem, and it would make sense that the work week and that the creative part of man's life would revolve around Shabbos. And this particularly in light of the Rav's Hashkafa, wherein this... generally this constant oscillation between Yetzirah and Tzimtzum, between, again, man, what the Rav calls Adam 1 and Adam 2, or man of majesty and man of humility, right, in different schemes. But this idea of man as a as one who, you know, who imitates the Yetzirah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and who is Kone Olamos, and Sholek Olamos, Pru Revu, and so on. And at the same time, you know, when he gets, as Rav explained so poignantly many, many times, when man gets closest to his greatest victories, that's precisely when he needs to retreat. That's when his humility and koach ha-tzimtzum come into play. That too is partially lehidamos, especially based on the tachlis masa bereishis of Shabbos, but it's that additional element of establishing know his limitations vis-a-vis and in contrast to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in that sense, if the spiritual life of the Jew revolves around Shabbos, it's understandable. It really is a snapshot, a microcosm of everything that Avodas Hashem is. And in that sense, I think we can understand what Chazal meant. In addition to the more practical meaning, which is also important, that you know Yoser Mimashi Yisrael Shomru Es HaShabbos. You know, that more than what Klal Yisrael did when they were Shomer Shabbos, Shabbos as an institution really preserved, safeguarded Klal Yisrael. And I think that that's true in this Hashkafa sense as well. In any case, all this is just you know, an Hakdama. So it certainly behooves us to understand the concept of Isur Malacha, the relationship between the Aseh and the Lo Aseh, and different themes in Shabbos, in light of this pivotal role that Shabbos plays as a microcosm, in the sense of shamar, not simply shamar. And with that, we begin with the halacha of understanding the Yisur Shabbos. What really is the nature of Shvisa Mishabbos? If it isn't only a passive non-malacha, but Yisur Malacha shamar in its own right, constitutes a kiyum, and is of intrinsic value. It conveys strong messages. How does that figure in, or is that reflected in Isser Malacha of Shabbos Mitzvah? So that's just a bit of a hashkafa introduction, and now we should begin with the actual halachic introduction of the issue. So I give you some armakomos, and let's begin by examining this question. To examine the Yisur of Malacha of Shabbos, we don't begin with the Parsha Bereishis, which, as I mentioned, focuses on Lehidamos, on the Ravonu Shel Olam. But we begin with the Aseres HaDibros. And again, the fact that Shabbos is in the Aseres HaDibros is surely of great significance. Clearly, whatever is in the Aseres HaDibros represents a major tenet in Yahadus. Last year we spoke about Hashkafa Shepurim, about the Yud Gimel Ikarim, and we began with the question whether or not Aseres HaDibros is any more of any greater value than anything else in Torah. And the Rambam's famous tshuva, where he opposes people standing for the Kriyas HaTorah of Aseres HaDibros any more than any other Kriyas HaTorah, we discussed it then. But clearly, no matter what you say, the Aseres HaDibros represents a succinct encapsulation either of Ikare HaYahadus or of Taryag Mitzvos, according to Rav Sadia Gaon's understanding. And it's fascinating, of course, that Shabbos appears on that list and appears very prominently. Maybe the greatest expansion is with regard to Shabbos. Of course, as part of the Torah's presentation, we have, that's the Shamar and the Zachar, and that's where we have the Isur Malacha of Shabbos. The Torah speaks about Shabbos. It's Isur Malacha. It's noteworthy, not only the context, but the language. Lo sasa kol malacha. So, what's striking about this term is its vagueness. It's a vague phrase. Shabbos is so pivotal, and so central. And Isur Malacha of Shabbos includes 39 avos malacha. We know that according to Torah Baal Peh. That, of course, is the Mishnah on Ein Gimel. The rest of the Yeshiva, I think, is beginning with. Right? Avos Malachos, Arboim Chasar Achas, Azorea, Chorish, Chosa, Ma'amer, Hadosh, Azorah, Habora, Atochin, Raki, Losh, Ofa, Gozes, Malabain. I'm not going to read all of them, it will take too long. That's because there are many of them, there are 39. And finally ends up with the Motzim Rishus Lashus, Harayilu, Avos Malachos, Arboim Chasar Achas. Mishnah finds it necessary to count them. The Gemara, in the parts that we're going to be discussing soon, tries to explain why it was necessary to count them. Shemason kulan behelam achas. Yerchayev 39. If it's shigas malachos, Yerchayev 39 chatos. In any case, the Mishnah tells us that there are 39 avos malacha. And the Gemara in Shabbos, we'll get back to it soon, but adaf mem tesom advais. The Gemara discusses, well, how do we know this? Hadri Yosvi, become Yibayelahu, Hadatan Ovis Melachas Arbaim Chasar Achas, Keneged Mi. Right? So Amalur Rab Chanina Bar Chama, Keneged Avodas HaMishkan, Amar Rav Yonasim Rav Elazar, Kacham Rav Shimon Rav Yosef Ben Lekunya, Keneged Malacha, Malachto, Meleches Shebetorah, Arbaim Chasar Achas. So, basically, we're told that there are these 39 avos malacha. There's a debate whether or not these are firm categories. These determine the amount of chatos, the maximum amount of chatos you can possibly be obligated on the day. And then there's some question of where it all comes from the term malacha, because the term malacha appears in the Torah, the significant term malacha 39 times. The reason I say significant is because the Gemara then goes on to discuss. It apparently appears 40 times, and then you have to either exclude Hamalacha Aisadayam or Vayavo Habaisa Lasos Malachto, one of the two. But either way, the point is that the Torah uses this expression Malacha, a certain amount of times, and that's the source, or the Smichus Parshios to the Binyan HaMishkan. That's the source. Okay. Either way, there are 39 avos malacha. And yet, the Torah, which found enough ink to write the parsha of Shabbos so many times, like Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos and Shorish Tesh, says, you know, it's just amazing, you know, why the Torah wrote over the parsha of Shabbos as many times as it did. So the Torah found the need to review the obligation of Shabbos so many times, and yet the Torah couldn't find enough ink to spell out the Avos Malacha. It had to leave the number and the identity of the Malachos to our imagination. Right, at minimum, that's intriguing. Right? We might throw up our hands and say, it's interesting, but you know, there's no point in speculating about it, or there's no intelligent speculation to be given on the topic. But at minimum, we should look into, we should know that this is intriguing. Why didn't the Torah spell out the number and the identity of the Malachos? In particular, when you look at the Gemaras and the Mishnah, and there's so much discussion as to what those Malachos really are and how many there really are. Shoved and Medakdik, and whether you count certain Malachos as one or as two, and which Malachos, and so on and so forth. And Chorish and Kotzir get special mention in the Torah, and Mavir gets special mention in the Torah. Meaning, it's not as if it's all, the numbers and the identity are not so obvious that the Torah's saving of space and ink by saying kol malacha is obvious. At minimum, it requires a comment. Once we know the discussion in the Gemaras and the Rishonim, so then, of course, it becomes more than a comment. And the question that we have to ask is, is the vague use of kol malacha, as opposed to being mafari, detailing those malachos, is that significant or not? Are we dealing with one shame iser? And that's why the Torah intentionally, not the saving, on the contrary, maybe it would have been easier from a halachic point of view to detail everything. But the Torah wanted to convey a theme, and that is that all of iser malacha b'Shabbos are applications. It is all one single concept of malacha. Then malacha is a general term. It may have finite definitions. We know that it does. 39. Avos malacha. Everything else has to come under the rubric of those 39. That's the concept of toldos, which we'll also speak about, of course, extensively. But then we understand why the Torah used that particular formulation. One shem iser, maybe even one maisa avera. 39 applications of the concept, and you know, an untold amount of applications of the applications. Okay, but that's the 39 all share something in common. They are more similar than they are different. Or there's some other reason that the Torah limited. Is it finished? Yeah? Everybody has their name on it? Whoever doesn't, please, it'll just help. I want them. Thanks. Or, on the contrary, this is not a correct conclusion to be reached. Malacha has a very specific meaning and an intrinsic meaning at that. For whatever reason, the Torah didn't write it this way, but one should read the psukim as saying, lo sasa, instead of the word malacha, malacha is to be taken out. You know, it's, and basically it's lo sasa zareya, lo sasa choresh, lo sasa dosh, lo sasa ma'amer, lo sasa osesh de bate nirin, whatever that is, and so on and so forth. Okay. In other words, the Torah is providing us for some reason with the abridged shorthand. But basically, it should be read as separate Shemos Iser. Yeah.
Couldn't Kol Malach also be a contrast to Ochal Nefesh and Kriya Yom Tov?
Could be, but you still could have said, but and contrast in. Right.
Kol Malach means everything, including the food preparation.
Right. So wouldn't that be more of a reason to? I understand, but I'm saying, would that be more of a reason or less of a reason to specify.
It is a form of specification in and of itself. In other words, that there is this whole category of malacha which is permitted on Yom Tov. So you should know that on Shabbos, that whole category is not permitted. Therefore, kol is the word that's used.
No. So, right. So the word kol doesn't bother me as much. I think you're right. I mean, if we're talking about the contrast between malacha savoda and kol malacha, then you're absolutely correct. In Yontif, the expression is used in Emor and other places, malacha savoda, with the exception of Parshas Bo, where, of course, malacha is used, but it's qualified in the pasuk itself, achashir achel l'chol nefesh, hu levado yaseh lachem. And the contrast is to Shabbos, where it's kol malacha, the entire complement of the 39. So if we're talking about why is kol as opposed to malacha, you're absolutely correct. What I'm saying is that doesn't bother me as much as why malacha, not zoreya and kotzer and dash and ma'amer and being and providing the details. That's really what bothers. But the contrast to yontif, you're absolutely correct. But we'll get back to that. Of course, I would just formulate it opposite of the way that you did, which doesn't contradict what you said. Meaning, it's the yontif has to be contrasted with the Shabbos, not the Shabbos with the Yom Tov. In other words, because Shabbos precedes Yom Tov in every way. So in a sense, we'll get to this, but you start off with the concept of Yisur Malacha from Shabbos, and then that is fine-tuned in the case of Yom Tov to eliminate certain things, as opposed to there's a Yom Tov concept, and then you build up beyond that for Shabbos. But that's a conceptual point we'll get. Everybody in the room assigned? Yes? Itamar? Okay. So basically we have two possibilities to read the Pasuk. One is the Pasuk is Mefaret, and indeed the Ritva has this idea. We'll get to it soon, but the Ritva and Shabbos Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, and the Tosis Rid, Shabbos Daf Kufla and Ches Amud Aleph, both on the Mar Makomos. I have this idea that when the Torah says kol malacha, it's another way of saying zorea and choresh and kotzer and mahamer and dash and so on and so forth. That every it doesn't mention them specifically, but you know the subtext is you know put them all in, put each and every one. You have the language there. That side of it. We'll get to the rest of it later. Do you have the Ritva?
The Ritva asks, "In Torah lama likra, da kevin the malachos mishunos vechalukos imizuhein."
Yeah, so that's the language of the room. We'll get back to it. And the Tosas Rid in Shabbos, Kuflamet Ches, in the context of Asro, which we'll get back to as well. I have it here somewhere. Kibin Dehavar L'chalikya, so we'll get to the connection later. Ki ilu ksiv lav akol malacha malacha dami. It's an even stronger formulation. Ki ilu ksiv lav akol malacha if the Torah had spelled out each and every lav, he links it to the Ma'at numbers of our lechalik, which is what's interesting about this. We'll get back to it. Okay, so I think that there are two opposite formulations how to read the pasuk in the Aseres Adibas. That's one. The second point, of course, is that these are extremes. Right? Either the Torah meant with the word malacha fill in the blanks that Torah Baal Peh provides for you, or it means is one integrated concept of malacha and there are 39 applications which Torah Baal Peh will fill in for you. Fine. I think there is something in between, or there are two possibilities really in between. One is, this will be helpful for some of the sugyas that we encounter, to distinguish between the Shem Iser and the Maisa Aveiru. We might say that as a Shem Iser, as a category, all Isurei Malacha and Shabbos are integrated. They are one. But that doesn't mean that as Maisa Averos, as Pulos, as Tsuros of Chilul Shabbos, they aren't different. And that, of course, would require of us that we, or challenge us, in some cases it would provide an opportunity for us to explain that different halachos may depend on different issues. It could be halachos and Chil Shabbos that depend on the Shem Iser, the category. And there could be other halachos that depend on whether we're talking about distinctive or discrete Maisa Averos. And we have to figure out which ones depend on which. Number of chatos, hasros, some of the issues that we're going to discuss a lot. Shibakalalos, which issues depend on which. It'll help us, it'll provide an opportunity for us if there are stiras in the Makoros, particular Rishonim and so on. So it'll help us to navigate those apparent contradictions. Either it's one shem Yisr or it's 39 shemos Yisr, right? But if there are contrary indications, so the subtle distinction of shemos Yisr, one, but still distinct mais averos or tsuros avera might be very helpful. This would particularly, I would also say, distinguish Shabbos from Avodah Zarah, Alosa of Dain, which is an issue that comes up in a number of contexts. There are different ways that one can violate Avodah Zarah, that you could be open Avodah Zarah. And in contrast to Shabbos, to begin with, if you're talking about Avodah Zarah Kedarko, meaning according to the methodology of that particular Avodah Zarah, if you're talking about that, so, you know, it's clear that, you know, while they might look very different, you know, some might be B'derech Kavon, some might be B'derech Bizayon, depending on the peculiarities of each Avodah Zarah. You know, what they, you know, what they celebrate, I guess, in religion and in man. So they might look very different, you know, and I guess Zorek Evan Lamarkalis is could be different than you know how you're Oved Molech. You know, again, I'm not an expert in these matters, but they may look very different. But when it comes down to it, Los Avdein, in the sense of Kedarko Derech Avodah Zarah, is basically nothing more than an application. As different as they look, in halachic terms, they're the same. It just means, you know, and fill in the blanks, however, you know, in logical manner or in peculiar manner, or in some case, in obscene manner, how that of Avodah Zarah is worshipped. And from that point of view, there's an infinite amount. There's no restriction, no limit. You can say, oh, there are 42... and a quarter ways to be Oved Avodah Zarah Kedarko. You know, as many peculiar, because Avodah Zarah basically is something that doesn't exist. Not basically, I mean, the basic concept of Avodah Zarah is that we don't believe in it, right? So it's not objective. So that's important to make that clear. So the point is that whatever has evolved in that particular culture and so on, and by definition, that's infinite. Right? There are no limitations on that. That should be contrasted with the Avodah Zarah Shelo Kedarko. I mean, Avodah Zarah which takes as its method, you know, Avodas Hashem. That's when you use a method of Avodas Hashem for Avodah Zarah, that too is constitutes Avodah Zarah, even if it's not the Derech Avodah Zarah of that particular Avodah Zarah. That's a complicating factor. That might be a different concept. What we're saying is, it's the mechayiv may be not so much the act of Avodah Zarah as it is the abuse of Avodas Hashem. The chilul derech Avodas Hashem is also a form of Avodah Zarah, and that of course is limited to certain types of Avodas Hashem. What the exact relationship is between Avodah Zarah Kedarko and Shalom Kedarko is an issue, and we'll touch on it a little bit when we talk about Lav Shivaklalos. But the point is that Avodah Zarah Kedarko, Losa of Dame, it's very easy to say about that it is one Shem Yisr, and even one Mais Avera. As different as one Avodah Zarah might look, Christianity, you know, looks very different than, Zoroastrianism, you probably know some the anthropologist. I don't mean in a negative way, but in a positive way. Has wide anthropological knowledge. So, I mean, the wide range of emphases and accents is, it's fascinating. But from a halachic point of view, it's all the same. And that's not true in El Shabbos. Right? Even if you say it's one Shem Yisr, there are still 39 applications. And certainly if you want to say one Shem Yisr and different Mais Averos, that would accent this idea that these are the methods, the form is important here. The form isn't merely something that you plug in without having any intrinsic significance. It may not be Shem Yisr, may not go that far, but it is at least the Mais Averos. So that's one Shara, and I think a very, very important one. The second pshara is to suggest that maybe there really are two dinim. Maybe Shabbos is one at one and the same time, one shemisur and 39 shemasisur. But why should one say such a thing? Well, number one, it would only be justified if it explained and was compelling in the sources of halacha. We'll have to see whether it is. But you know, even sketching in advance, even a priori, you know, what might this be about, that there should be two components, two dinim? The truth is, as I mentioned before, there are a number of parshios in Shabbos, there are a number of dimensions of Shabbos. We integrate them, but we also emphasize them separately, like everything else that we integrate, because then the integration is more meaningful. So in a sense, there's a certain value to seeing all of Shabbos as one, right, as an integrated unit. And there's also value in seeing each of the malachos as representing an independent act of chilul Shabbos, an intrinsic way of defying and undermining Shabbos. In one sense, it's hard to compare Shabbos to chelev and dam. Clearly there's a unifying principle in Shabbos that doesn't exist so much in chelev and dam. We'll discuss chelev and dam a little bit, whether or not is there a concept of macholos asuros as a category beyond, or is macholos asuros an artificial notion, which just is a, you know, it's a good way of, you know, for the Rambam and others to, you know, to classify things instead of saying hilchos chelev and hilchos dam and hilchos nevela and hilchos tevel and so on and so forth. So we say hilchos macholos asuros, but halachically, is there a concept of macholos asuros? Or is there only chelev and only dam and only nosar and only pigul and so on and so forth? But with respect to Shabbos, even if we were to conclude that there are 39 shemos isar on Shabbos, I suspect that we would all agree, unless somebody really is a very strong contrarian in the room and wants to make the argument, but I think we would all agree that there is something called Shabbos. Isar malacha on Shabbos is not just an artificial category. There is something, even if there are 39 shemos isar, about Shabbos as an integrated unit. Well, we feel that way, and it's also reflected in the halachas, as we'll see. Certainly on a shkagos level it's reflected. I mean, we'll read the Gemara soon, but one of the Gemaras I gave you, the Mar Makomos, points out, Tinok Shenishba, or Ger Shenizgayer Mimena Akum, right? So he doesn't know that Shabbos exists, right? That's the first Mishnah here on Samech. See, we're beginning at the beginning today. If you violate all those Shabbos because you don't know anything, so you bring one chatas, and let's say you violated all macholos asuros because you didn't know anything, right? The same unfortunate upbringing, right? Tinuk tenizra ben anachrin, or the same amnesia that wiped out your memory. So do you bring one korban for all macholos asuros? Like you bring one korban for all of Shabbos? What? Again, one for chelev, and one for dam, and one for nosar, and one for tamei, and one for pigol. So apparently, we'll discuss it more, we'll read the Gemara soon, but apparently, macholos asuros is to chelev, and dam, and nosar, and pigol, not the same that Shabbos is, to Zareya, and to Chorish, and to Kotzer, and to Ma'amer, and so on. In other words, one is a more artificial classification, the other is a more halachic, a natural classification. That doesn't necessarily mean Shemos Iser Echad, but on some level it means that Shabbos is a unit. And you could speak about one Chalos Halama, Shkaga, at minimum. Okay. Moreover, as I say, with regard to certain halachos, certainly one can speak about the role of the 39 avos as one. At least something to consider. Even if they are individuated on the Iser level, what about on the mitzvahs aseh level? Let's say every time you violate the Iser of Shabbos, you also violate the aseh of Shabbos. If that's true, that's one of the things we'll investigate in our second topic. But if it's true, So would you say that you violate that asay in some sense? You know, the violation of the asay of Shabbos is different if it's Zoreya, if it's Choresh, if it's Kotzer, if it's Ma'amer, if it's Dash, in the same way that you would say it on the Lav side of things? Or at least with regard to the asay of Shabbos, which you get every time you violate a Lav, if that's true, at least there it's fully integrated. There it's applications of one concept. What I'm suggesting is bold. I'm suggesting that the role of the of different malachos is different when we look at it from an Iser or Maisa Vera perspective, or we look at it in terms of the missed opportunity of affirming the Asay of Shabbos. May not be true, but I think that there's a certain compelling logic to it. We don't have the sense that the Asay of Shabbos that you violate when you violate the Lamed Tes Malacha is different if it's Zoreya or if it's Ma'amer or if it's Borer. We might have the sense that as a Maisa Veira they're different. Again, is our intuition good enough, or do we need, if we can get hard, cold facts, that would be better, so we'll look for that. But that would at minimum establish that the Lamed Tes Malachos are a contingent, a unit, Losasa called Malacha, exactly as the Torah wrote it, even though it's also Losasa, Zoreya, Koresh, Kotzer, Ma'amer, Dash, Borer, and so on. Moreover, in addition to the distinction with, what I've suggested is two things so far on this formulation. One is that within Isurim themselves, there is both a unit, an integration, and discrete Isurim, in the sense of Shigigas Shabbos or Eniodea Ikar Shabbos, that's one. And secondly, with regard to the distinction between the Asay and the Malah. A third level where there may be this distinction may be in the area that the Chaim touched on a second ago, and that is the relationship to Yom Tov. And I might add also, although we might distinguish, to Yom Kippur. The impact that Shabbos has on other institutions. Shabbos is the first Yom Kodesh, right, for Bereishis, and it's also the paradigm of Yom Kodesh. That's why I wasn't just being pedantic, hopefully, when I said before, I like the point, but I would formulate it in the opposite way. Namely, Yom Tov works off of Shabbos, not Shabbos building off of Yom Tov. What I meant by that is, in Parshas Moedim and Parshas Emor, right, so we have the Moedim are about to be delineated, and then the Torah, you know, kind of throws us a curve by starting with Shabbos. Okay, this is when we learned Beitza about 4 years ago, as I began with this Hagdama. Allow me this part of the overlap just for a minute, but with the emphasis on the Shabbos part. Why does the Torah do that? So the Mefarshim already asked the question. The Medrash Halacha actually already asked the question. And the Rishonim weigh in on it, Rashi and the Ramban, teaching that Mevaza Samoadim is like the Mechalas HaShabbos. Is it to teach you that when Shabbos falls out on Yom Tov, there's Isur Malacha of Kol Malacha, not just of Kol Malacha Savoda? The Ramban says that there would have been a Havamina to say that there'd be Heter Ochol Nefesh because it's Yom Tov in addition to Shabbos. Right? Kamash Malon, it's not true. Since it's also Shabbos, the Chomer Shebishneim wins out. So there are all sorts of answers that are given. I don't think inconsistent with those answers, but a different point, which maybe enhances our appreciation of some of them at least. I wanted to make the suggestion that you have to begin the Yom Tovim with Shabbos, because the very concept of Isur Malacha for Yom Tov, which is, you know, the core of every Yom Tov, Mikra Kodesh, has its roots in Shabbos. And that's what the Torah is telling us in such a profound way. Namely, if you want to know what a Yom Tov is, you have to understand the framework, the structure of a Yom Tov, and that begins with Shabbos. Why so? Because that's the first place where the Torah describes Shabbos, the term Mikra Kodesh. Everywhere else the Torah speaks about Shabbos is Shabbos. Here the Torah speaks about Shabbos and Mikra Kodesh, and Mikra Kodesh is the common denominator that ties that entire Parshas HaMoedim in Emor. Every time we find Mikra Kodesh, with the exception of Yom Kippur, it's connected to Isur Malacha of Yom Tov. Kol Malacha Savoda Lo Sasim. One exception being Yom Kippur. Mikra Kodesh signifies Isur Malacha. And that's where the Torah introduces Shabbos, where it seemingly should have skipped over it, and formulates Shabbos for the first time as Mikra Kodesh. So these are not coincidences. The idea seems to be the Torah is telling us, in addition to Shabbos' specific status, Shavo Shabbos v'kol melachto asher bara likim la'asos, which every Shabbos, right, focuses on Isur Malacha, Shabbos has another value, another dimension. And that is that Shabbos, as the first, Yom Kodesh, is also the paradigm, the model for a Yom Kodesh. Shabbos qua Mikra Kodesh. Because on the surface, why should Malacha be Asura be Yom Tov at all? That Malacha is Asur be Shabbos, we understand very well. Shavo Shabbos Mikol Malachta, Shavar Alikin Masos. And for that reason, Mechalel a Shabbos is a Mechalel, is a kofer rather, b'maisa breishis, and he's a mumar l'chol haTorah kula. Makes sense. Shavo Shabbos mikol melachto is being undermined by chilul Shabbos. What does malacha have to do with Yom Tov? We're talking about Shavuos, we're talking about Sukkot, we're talking about Pesach, we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, even Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur maybe is better, but for other reasons. But certainly aside from Yom Kippur, why is there an Isur Malacha at all? The answer is because Shabbos also established the nature of a Yom Kodesh. And there is no Shabbos without Isur Malacha. And therefore the concept of Mikra Kodesh that Shabbos brings to the Moadim necessarily includes Isur Malacha. Now that might be fine-tuned in Yom Tov, which is where Heter Ochel Nefesh may come into play, either because of other urgencies, or because it's a different kind of Isur Malacha. It isn't intrinsic. Okay, we'll get back to that very, very briefly. That's what we spent most of our time in the beginning of Beitzah, namely, how do we understand the discrepancy between Kol Malacha and Malacha Savoda, Heter Ochel Nefesh? What is the nature of the Heter? But aside from the difference, with the adjustment, the point is that Mikra Kodesh is what Shabbos gives to Yom Tov. When Chazal say that Shabbos ikri Yom Tov and Yom Tov ikri Shabbos, I think partially what they mean is this point. And there's an overlap. So from this point of view, the dimension of Shabbos that is exported to Yom Tov, namely the Mikra Kodesh part of Shabbos, may very well be Kol Malacha. As far as that is concerned, it's very possible that what we're dealing with is one Shem Iser with 39 applications. Or in the case of Yom Tov, it's not going to end up being 39, it's going to be, 30. What was it? That the list in the Otzar Gonim? 30. Or it'll be 39, but with some Eterim of Heter Ochel Nefesh, depending on how you understand Hutra, Dechuya, the concept of Heter Ochel Nefesh. But the point is, the Torah wrote Shabbos as if it was one Shem Iser and did not say Zareh, Chorish, Kotzer, Ma'amer, Dosh, etc., to establish that there's an element of Shabbos which is one Shem Iser. And that explains Yom Tov. Yom Tov, we say, there's no Chiluk Malachos. If you violate many, many Malachos on Yom Tov, right, you get you don't get individual Malkios. Question, why is that so? Well, we'll analyze it more fully. Is that which one is the exception, which is the rule? Is it a difference between Malkus and Chatos? There are all sorts of explanations that can be given. One explanation that could be given is that the nature of Yisur Malacha and Shabbos and Yom Tov differ, and what Yom Tov gets from Shabbos is just Kol Malacha, one Shem Yisur. But it had to be in Shabbos first in order to export it to Yom Tov. So in this sense, what I'm suggesting is that both internally for Shabbos, there are two dinim on the Isur level. Internally for Shabbos, there may be one halacha of the asay, another halacha of the lav. And in addition, I'm suggesting that there are two dinim of Shabbos. There's Shabbos as Shabbos, and there's Shabbos as the paradigm of Mikra Kodesh in terms of what it exports to Yom Tov. And from either or all of these three perspectives, we would be able to justify that there are two dinim, and that Losasa Kol Melacha really is one integrated concept, one Shem Yisur, and at the very same time, separate Shemos Yisur. So Reach, Chorish, Kotzer, Ma'amer, etc. Now, this question of how we look at Shabbos in either two extremes or in either of the two more complex middle positions definitely has impact on how we look at Shabbos, our orientation with respect to Isurei Melacha. As specific, though numerous individual Isurim that objectively and intrinsically violate Shabbos, Chilul Shabbos, or more in terms of a broader and more amorphous violation of the spirit of the day of Shabbos. As for all Isur Melacha is one unit, it doesn't really matter to us whether it's Borer or Chatzar or Ma'amer. It's Melacha b'Shabbos. Right? Then we might, we don't have to, but we might look at Shabbos, you know, in much broader terms. And we might look at each individual violation or all violations as violating the spirit of the day more than intrinsically being Mechalel as a Shabbos. Another way to say this, anticipating what we'll discuss in the Mitzaseh of Shabbos, might be to say that if you look at all of Shabbos as one Shem Yisur, as opposed to individual Shemus Yisur, then in the contest, I don't really mean contest, but we'll just use the metaphor, between the Mitzvah Asay of Shabbos and the Mitzvah Los Asay of Shabbos, but if there is both an Asay and a Los Asay of Shabbos, and let's say they are identical in every way, whenever you violate one, you violate the other. So which one really sets the tone? In other words, is Isur Melacha more about the lost opportunity of the Asay of Shabbos? What you're doing is an improper Shvisa? Or maybe the Mitzvah Asay is a reinforcement, Lav or Lav, you know, Be'asay or Be'lo Sasay, but it's really about Isur Melacha, about Maisa Veira, about Chilul Shabbos. In general, this is a question. Whenever the Torah has an Asay and a Lav, so some of the Monei Mitzvos only, in principle at least, only count one, and not both. Even then, it's interesting to note that some of them, and in general, or maybe it depends on the particular case, will count the Asay, and some will count the Lav. In the Sefer Mitzvot of Sajigon, Rabbi Rucham, official Perlo's monumental work, so he always discusses this. He has certain rules that he thinks apply. I'm more dubious about it, but he thinks that there are rules for the Bahag and there are rules for Apsajagon about counting Essen and Lavin and which one you count, if you count, and so on. But I said I'm a little dubious. What I mean is, I always assume that there's no hard and fast rule, but there's always this issue, and there might be different, you might take a different position with respect to different cases on this issue. In other words, when you have an assay, two things. When you have an assay and a lav, and they're identical, can you ever justify counting both? Because if they're not identical, they don't overlap completely, one is more limited or expansive than the other, then of course you have to count them both. But let's say they are identical in every way, there's no echatimsa that you can ever find, you'll have one without the other. Okay. So, but still, let's say you count it. So if you always count it, so that's just a methodological point in Minyan HaMitzvahs. You know, the more the merrier, or whatever the criterion is going to be. But let's say you generally don't count it, and here and there you count an Asay and a Lav that appear to be identical. Again, Rabbi Yerucham Fishel Perlo, in principle, refuses to abide this. He says if anybody counts Asay and a Lav, it's always, there must be a Hechatimtzi where one doesn't apply and the other does. I'm suggesting that maybe one can suggest an alternative approach. Can there ever be a reason to count both sometimes when they're identical? I would say yes. If conceptually, although there's absolute identity, two different themes are being projected. that sometimes a particular halacha is an asay in its nature, and sometimes it's a lot. I'll give the example of Yom Kippur, but we don't have to go farther than the example of Shabbos. The Isur Achila Yom Kippur, the Tzom of Yom Kippur, is that an Isur or a Kiyum? V'nisam es nafshosechem. The Torah formulates it as a positive. V'nisam es nafshosechem. In fact, the Gemara Numa explains that the Torah never ever says anywhere an azhara, a real azhara, of Isur Achila v'Yom Kippurim. It's an amazing omission. Right. Lo ana shalom kein hizir. The Rambam starts with this, and Yom Shavuos is also as well. So there's it's implicit. But again, you can ask the question. So why didn't the Torah explicate it? It's just remarkable. Every other place, practically, where there's an onesh, we have an explicit azhara, and here we don't. That's question number one. Question number two is, and in minyan mitzvot, so what do you count? Here, Ruchu Pishul Perlo has a discussion for a second in Sura Sajjah. Do you count the lav? Do you count the asay? Do you count both? Do you count, if one, which one do you count? But the point may be that conceptually the question is, do we look at the tzom of Yom Kippur as an iser, something you're not supposed to be doing? Or is it a kiyum? Avi nisam es nafsho seichem. That might determine whether or not you focus on, and whether the Torah is going to focus on the kiyum, even though there is also a lav, but the lav reinforces the kiyum. Or is it the kiyum reinforcing the lav, or are there two dinim? The same thing could be said with regard to the mitzvah say of Shabbos and of Yom Tov. Right, let's say they are counted twice, and there's an identity in terms of the halachos. So you might argue, yeah, because conceptually there are two concepts here. There's a kiyum, there's the way you're supposed to spend Shabbos. When I spoke before of Shamar as an emphatic, not as something to avoid only. And then there's an Iser. When you do it, it's a nice Avera. It destroys Shabbos. Intrinsically violates the Kedusha of Shabbos. Chalel mos yumas. Different parshios. Maybe the different parshios in the Torah of Shabbos emphasize very different things. So then you might explain, you know, what the relationship is between the Asay and the Lav. They're the same, but which is the emphasis, or are there two dinim? So likewise, when we talk about Isur Malacha, we discuss whether it's one shame with many applications, or intrinsically different, Averos, almost different shamos, Isur. Lo sasa zorea, lo sasa kotzer, lo sasa ma'amr. There's practically no broader classification, if we were to go that far. So in one case, you might argue that we're really focusing on the Isurim. It lends itself more to that. I'm not saying it's all about Talia. Whereas in the other case, it almost emphasizes the mitzvah saseh theme of Shabbos, which of course is consistent with the suggestion that I made earlier, which is that if there are two dinim, maybe one corresponds to its aseh and the other corresponds to its lav. Because I'm already taking the position that from the aseh point of view, the differentiation between the malachos is really not all that important. They're just examples of Chilul Shabbos in a broader sense. Whereas from a lav point of view, from a Isavera point of view, you can look at each one separately. Right. So too, if we were to conclude that on a lav level, it's all one, we might be saying that, you know, in the struggle for the soul of Isur Malach of Shabbos, it's the Aseh that is dominant, not the lav. A question which has to be raised, both with regard to Shabbos and with regard to Yom Tov. My point is, just to sum up, that whether we conclude that there is one or 39 Isurim or some more complex position in between will have impact, perhaps, on the way we look at the whole institution of Isur Malacha. It's not just a technical issue, it's an issue conceptually that impacts us as well. Okay, that's just all in the way of Hagdama. In terms of concrete things, let me just have to finish up in two more minutes, so let's at least begin. First thing to note is the Gemara in Shabbos Mem Peso and Beis, which I neglected to give you in the article for some reason. I don't know why. But the one that I quoted earlier. Either way, we'll discuss it more fully when we get to the relationship between Avos and Toldos. And especially the relationship between the Avos and the concept of the Mishkan. But the point is that the Gemara has two limudim for the 39 Avos Malacha. One is the phrase Malacha that appears in the Torah 40 or really 39 significantly times. And the other is Smichas Parshios to the Mishkan. So the Rishonim, their debate, if you look at Bali Tosis and Ramban, other Rishonim, is there really any nafkamina whether we learn out from Malacha, 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 or we learn out from the Mishkan? Bali Tosis in particular seemed to think, two Tosis in there actually, in Ramban as well, that you really need both Limudim. Because after all, even if you know the number, can you really extricate yourself fully from the Mishkan? Don't you at least need the Mishkan to, you know, for the actual identification of the Malachas? That's according to the Ma'an number, it says Malacha, Malacha, it says Malacha 39 times. So that tells you the number, but where do you get the pool from? So some Rishonim think, in Achanami you just look for the most chashuv, Malachos objectively that you can find. And the top 39 are the ones that the Torah had in mind. The Torah makes us work very hard. Hopefully there's a Masorah that helps us. But basically it's the 39 most chashuv, objectively most chashuv Malachos are the Malachos that are Asuros. Mishkan has nothing to do with it. If it appears that the Mishkan has to do with it, it's only because the Mishkan also entailed the performance of Malachos Chashuvos. So that might be a place to look. But it's not the Mishkan per se. Or no. Either way, you need the Mishkan. Just that, the Mishkan alone wouldn't have told you 39. And you need the 39. And then you look at the central activities of the Mishkan. So if there's actually no nafkamina, and either way you need both the number and the Mishkan, according to both Shittos, I'm sure I'm going to hold that as well. So what's the whole discussion in the Gemara about? So it could be that the discussion is still helpful for our issue. I mean, it's important to know when the Torah says malacha, you know, could you just substitute the word malacha for about 39 substitutes for that word? Malacha means Zorea, another candidate, Koresh, another candidate, Kotzer, another candidate, Makom HaPatish, another candidate, Hotzah, and so on. Or, even though you're ending up with the same malachos, it's done through a two-step process. It's important that you know it's being done through a two-step process. Because it's really a more general concept of malachas HaMishkan, and then fill in the blanks. In other words, to make it clear, I think according to both deos, you could raise this chakira. Whether you say malacha, 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 or you say the Mishkan, you can ask in both cases whether we're dealing with 39 Isurim or not, or we're dealing with one. But it's possible, especially if you think that there are no tangible nafkamina in terms of the list, that gufa, this is the debate. The debate is whether or not we can substitute a malacha directly in the pasuk, or there's a point to knowing that the concept of malacha, it's not 39 separate malachos, it's one concept of malacha defined by malachas HaMishkan, that's your point of reference. Okay. What about minyan mitzvos? So that seems to be a more fruitful area to look at. So, on the surface, everybody, I'm not aware of anybody, but to say it this way, who counts 39 Isurim of Shabbos. Like many other things that they discussed, the issue came up between Rab Daniel HaBavli and Rab Avram Ben Aramba in that famous exchange at in the Frankel Sefer Mitzvot, I know they published it between them, but together with many other issues. Why don't you count? Why did the Rambam count mitzvah X, Y, Z, A, B, and C only once? Shouldn't he have counted? Shouldn't he have counted the dalad minim of the lulav as four? And shouldn't he have counted? And so on and so forth. So one of them is, and shouldn't he have counted the lamed tes alfas malacha as 39 yisurim? And Rambam said, no. Father did well. He did the right thing. The question, of course, is, the discussion is interesting, the question, of course, is, are they discussing our topic? There's a wild card here. Okay, well, what's the wild card? The criteria for minyan mitzvos. What do you count in minyan mitzvos when there are... Do you ever count maisaveros, let's say, that are separate from Shemos Yisr? Are there cases where there are multiple Shemos Yisr, but if under one pasuk, let's say, or one broader classification, how do you count them as one or as multiple? That's the Sefer Mitzvos issue in both directions. And in theory, different schemes of Sefer Mitzvos could have different... You know, there's no law that says that that the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos has to operate the same way as the Mahags or Psadugons or the Smaks or the Arayans. Right? There's no... everybody made up their own... These are artificial categories. So in these Sefer Mitzvos, you'd have to ask this question. For the Rambam, you'd have to ask, you know, if, is it a good question? Depends on two things. Number one, the status of 39... almost Malacha, which is our topic. And number two, what does the Rambam really use as criterion for Sefer Mitzvos? Shemos, Maisaveros, or Psukim, broader categories. And here, of course, on the in the more complex perspectives that we you know have briefly explored and put out there, it'd be interesting to know. Now, let's say something is both 39 and 1 at the same time, right? You know, vis-a-vis its assay, vis-a-vis Yom Tov, even vis-a-vis itself, there's more than one dimension. So how do you count that in Minyan Mitzvot? Not so clear. So on the one hand, just to give a brief example, Lav Shebeklolos, which we're going to speak about anyway. So Lav Shebeklolos, the Rambam speaks about in Shorish Tess. The Ramban has his own haaros on that, in Shorish Tess of Sefer Mitzvot. Lav Shebeklolos is counted how many times? Once, even though there are different Shemos Yisr. But there's one pasuk, right? Lo socho al adam. So that's the makar for everything, practically, right? You can't eat before davening, and you can't eat before the, you know, the zrikas adam, and then you can't eat before the shechita, and then you know, a hundred other things. Bezdin can't eat on the day that they're you know implementing capital. Punishment, and you know 20 other and Betzora Amora, and maybe only the Malchus parts, or maybe also the Nisa parts, you know, and pretty much 1,000 or 2,000 other halachos. No, not that. But Lasochal Adam is it's quite a pasuk. Okay, who would have thunk it? But Lasochal Adam is that's the you know the example of Lav Shebeklolos for good reason. So. Different Shemos Yisr? Certainly. One Pasuk. It has its impact on Malchus, and it has its impact on Minyan HaMitzvos as well. So when Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam said, not at all, Father did the right thing, did he mean Father did the right thing because there's only one Shem Yisr, and therefore it only deserves one Minyan HaMitzvos? Or did he mean... that it's not exactly like Lav Shebeklolos, because Lav Shebeklolos, right, Lo Socho Al Adam, you know, certainly the satellite ones don't even get Malchus. Here, every one of them gets Malchus. So maybe it's not comparable to Lav Shebeklolos. So the reason that Father was correct is because it's one Shem Yisr. Had it been many Shemos Yisr, it wouldn't be comparable to Lav Shebeklolos, and Rabbi Daniel Abavli would have been correct. Or no, it's many Shemos Yisr, meaning I understand your question, Rabbi Ramban Rambam, it's not off mark completely, except that the criterion for Minyan HaMitzvos doesn't depend on Malchus completely either, and it is like Lav Shebeklolos in that sense. Namely, one Pasuk can only serve one mitzvah in Minyan HaMitzvos. Everything else is included within it. Even though, indeed, we're speaking of 39 Avos Malach. So that's not clear. That requires further analysis. On the more concrete level, with this we conclude, comes the comparisons in the Gemara itself. What does the Gemara compare Lamites Avos Malachos to? The answer is the Gemara, in a very famous passage in Sanhedrin Daf Samach Beis and in Gemara Ayin Beis. Sammy?
Chela
V'dam. And what does it compare to chelav adam? Katzavatacha. That's a proxy for other malachos. Meaning two separate malachos are compared. Katzavakatzar is compared to chelav chela. Right? Katzavatachan is compared to chelav v'dam. With respect to what halacha? Which halacha? Chilik malachos. Okay. So that, of course, is suggestive of which perspective?
Separate
Shemus Yisur, because certainly Chelev and Dam, we already noted that there may not be a concept of Macholos Asuras at all, meaning a Chalos Shem Macholos Asuras. It's questionable. But certainly one could argue that it's an artificial group. Right. Certainly, no matter what you say, even if there is a concept of Macholos Asuras, certainly Chelev and Dam represent separate Shemus Yisur. Yeah?
The Aruch
HaNaim
says that there's one Shemus.
Who says that?
The
I know that. I'm aware of the Aruch HaNer. The Aruch HaNer tries to explain the Havamina. Yeah, we'll get to it. Yeah, the same Pasuk. I think Aruch HaNer quotes that as well, as far as I remember. We'll get back to that. Why of all Macholos Asuros do they pick Chelav v'Dam? Okay. So we'll get to that. And it also is also connected to the Sunyan Samech Chesamid Beis. What are we exactly comparing to? I gave a look at the Tosas here. V'chayiv al dam achas Tosa v'Tosa Rosh is connected to that Aruch, that comment of the Aruch on there as well. Tamchuin b'chalkin or not? Well, we'll get to it. But on the surface, no one denies, that chelav adam are also separate shemas. So they may be more integrated than nevela and tevel. Or Nosar, or Pigol, but I don't think anybody will deny that they're separate Shemus Yisur. Right? They're separate Shemus Yisur, and they also may have some unity, which makes it intriguing, according to the Aruch HaNer, according to Tosfos and Chulin, and so on, that they're the ones that are used to equate. It takes the sting a little bit off the equation. But in any case, the Gemara does equate with Chelev v'Dam. The question is, A, should we reassess Chelev v'Dam? That's Yaakov's Torah, and I agree, in order to make the comparison more palatable. B, even if you do accept the comparison, is there another way to explain it? By which I mean,
I mean, you just play it down and say it's true that Chelev v'Dam are different, but they're also different in a less significant way.
That's don't emphasize the comparison so much as the result. And how would you say that? By saying what Rashi says in Shabbos, namely, Gufin Mukhlakin, as opposed to Shemos Iser Mukhlakin. Rashi in Shabbos Achayin Beis, as opposed to Sanhedrin Samach. Rashi in Sanhedrin Samach Beis says when you compare Katzar V'Tachat to Chelev v'Dam, you mean it, meaning different Shemos Iser. And Rashi in Shabbos is the difficult Rashi, methodologically, because it basically saying, not because Chelev and Dam are different Shemos Yisur, which they are, because even if they weren't, the point is Gufin Mechlokin, whatever that means. We have to explain why Gufin Mechlokin usually means something a little different. What is the classic case of Gufin Mechlokin? Two Gavras, two Nidas. Right? A person was Baal Nida, and then he was Baal another Nida, but another person. That's literally Gufin Mechlokin. Gemara in Prisa speaks about Shabbosos kegufin mukhlakin, not to speak about. Like the person who makes a calendar mistake. He thinks that Thursday is Friday, so every Shabbos he's off. He thinks every Shabbos is Sunday, or every Shabbos is Friday. Whatever one it is, I already confused myself, but it doesn't matter. We understand the point. So, but we say Shabbosos kegufin mukhlakin. What does that mean? So Rashi, here, and in Krisos also, has this idea that malachos are like gufin mechlokin. So that's an example of playing down the equation. Here already, the Gemara itself makes this equation. What are Rishonim who believe otherwise, what are they going to do about it? Are they going to moderate the Chelev v'Dam side of it, or are they going to moderate the Shabbos side of it? That's already a more concrete example than Min HaMitzvos, where we can see the issue being played out. So we'll stop here. We'll just, we'll pursue this question through the Marmar comments that I gave you. Hopefully we'll finish that Sunday. Sunday I'll give you Makoros for the Mitzvah Seif Shabbos. So be no sure on Monday, but then there will be again Tuesday and Thursday. Next one.